This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta A-Stars. Seth Allard is a cultural anthropologist at Western Michigan University and a member of the Sault Ste. Marie Ojibwa tribe. Working on his master's degree, Allard came face to face with the problem of youth suicide among Native Americans. He wrote a book about it, Guided by the Spirits, The Meanings of Life, Death, and Youth Suicide in an Ojibwa Community. Allard included stories and poems by members of the tribe.
This poem is titled Drawn Away, and it's drawn from an interview with an elder in 2009. So many attempted suicides, they filled up the hospital wards. It's very economically depressed. There's nothing much for the kids. We've lost a lot of our spirituality and our guidance in our lives. Kids don't really have anything to fall back on. I try to encourage them to get on the drum, attend sweat lodges. They were caught up in the same problems that the rest of society has. Even though they're exposed to the positives, the spirituality, they are also exposed to the negatives. They've been drawn away. The children are exposed to substance abuse, an unstable, dysfunctional family. Even though they were exposed to the traditions, that has an effect throughout their lives. It's really hard for them to break that. They have to leave to find decent jobs and work. You find that going back two generations, and they lose their culture. Mother, she would bring up things from my youth on Sugar Island, my ancestral home. People would gather there. You would get culture from that. Anishinaabemowin, the Ojibwe language. She didn't want to teach me. Children my age, their parents didn't want to teach the language. Being known as Indian would hold you back in life. People would try to hide that they were Native by calling themselves French-Canadian or Spanish, not Indian. You're really only fooling yourself. Everybody knew who you were anyways. I asked my mother what French-Canadian was, and she was kind of embarrassed we did that. Oh, you know, that's a way that people can try to hide that they're Indian. And I says, why do they do that? They're Indian, aren't they? I didn't understand.
What inspired you to write this book? What was your motivation?
It was just something that stuck in my head. Before I even started my graduate program, I was actually second year in my history program here at Western. I was doing an internship up in Sault Ste. Marie with the Intertribal Council. And on the weekends, I would spend time with a couple of elders, and I was really getting back to my roots in a way I'd never had a chance to do before. So on the weekends, I would spend time in a place, St. Isaac Jogues Church, which Brother John Haskell, who is a much beloved individual in the community, he's probably going to roll his eyes at me saying that if he's hearing this, because he's a very modest person.
The best people are.
They usually are. So I would spend time there at St. Isaac Joe's Church. And on the weekends, I would drive past the church. I was living with my brother at the time, drive past the church on Marquette Avenue. Mm-hmm. And I'd noticed after living there a couple of weeks, the parking lot of this small church was packed, probably had 30 or 40 cars in there. And I was thinking, it must be a wedding or something like that. Next week, yeah. Packed. And a week after that, packed, I was really confused because where in this day and age do you find Catholic church parking lots really, really packed? So I asked one of the elders I was learning from, who also went to the church with me, I said, what's the deal? Is there an event going on there? Is there a tribal thing going on or a church thing? And he said, that's the support group for the Sioux Tribal Live Youth Program. It's for suicide prevention.
That's where I thought this was going, yeah.
And I was thinking, that many cars?
Yeah.
Just packing the parking lot for youth and families and prevention workers. And that told me something. That packed parking lot told me more than probably any article I've read in my research.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. I asked Seth Allard about the statistics behind youth suicide among the Ojibwa tribe and why it's so high.
Statistics, which in my book, I don't deal heavily with statistics. I put some statistics out there as a background, but statistically, nationally, I believe it's 2.5 times the rate of youth from other races and ethnicities. You could have that varying from tribe to tribe. I mean, that's just a national survey, and usually the CDC or SAMHSA will put that out. But you could have tribes that, for instance, will have six or seven or more times the national average. But also on the opposite, and this is kind of a minority, but you do have some tribes that have a lower suicide rate than the national average. So there is variation. And First Nations in Canada, generally they're even worse off. There are some communities that will have 8 or 10 times the Canadian national rate.
So in your research, did you find, what is it that makes that happen? Why are they so at risk?
Well, the quick answer is that it's not a quick answer. It's extremely complex. And at the moment, social scientists are realizing that it takes a multidisciplinary approach. It takes many viewpoints. It takes an extreme amount of collaboration, positive collaboration with tribal communities, different professional approaches towards, you know, public health and epidemiology. It is so complex that there is really a call for what's called mixed methods research to tackle the issue. However, you do have some basic correlations between suicide and other factors like low socioeconomic status. I mean, poverty is obviously a correlation for many things, violence included. You have substance abuse as a heavy correlation there. You have also, if you were to go deeper into the history of these tribal communities, you have issues like historical trauma and what I call kind of intergenerational anger towards the historical oppression of Native peoples. And that really plays with the identity aspect of Native youth. I mean, imagine, well, we've all been young. We all know that it can be difficult to be young, be an adolescent. But imagine that you're living in a community and you're growing up where your identity is in question. That's going to add all that much more stress to who you are.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, there are many other factors, socioeconomics, being marginalized politically, having that identity conflict, having historical trauma. These are all issues. And to the latter, historical trauma, there is still a very strong lived memory of what is known as the boarding school days, the boarding school era in Native American communities. We still have individuals who are not much older than middle age who have been in the boarding schools. In fact, and this is something I didn't even know until taking part in a case study on type 2 diabetes in Native American communities this past summer with Western. Let me ask you, what do you think was the last year that a Native American boarding school was operating in the state of Michigan?
80s?
Actually, you're pretty close, 1983. Now, that might shock some people who are listening because usually when you hear boarding schools, they're black and white photos, they're elders who are speaking about their experience. 1983, that's, and I'm dating myself here, that's 2 years before I was born. Mm-hmm. And that's not so far away. Those are fresh memories, and they impact people's day-to-day mental health.
I'm Zenta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Seth Allard, the author of Guided by the Spirits, The Meanings of Life, Death, and Youth Suicide in an Ojibwa Community. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. Thanks for listening.